Please be seated. And I thought I would not say this, but I think I have to say it, even though I know also that the Lord is speaking to me. When the worship started initially, the Holy Spirit now spoke to my heart. I heard it so clearly. And the Lord said, I am more than what you are looking for. Amen. It caught me in a very, it was as if God was standing right in front of me and telling me I couldn't but bow before him. He said, I am more than what you are looking for. I am more than what you are after. Hallelujah. And it took my mind back to his message to us at the beginning of the year. It says, give attention to me. Give attention to me. Give attention to my word. And we shared with us just like Mary sat before him. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the most important thing. No matter what we do, put God in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit of God, I'm so grateful for the opportunity and privilege I have today to speak your word. Not because I am qualified, but because you qualified me. As I speak, let your children hear you. Let them hear even the things I have not said, so that it will be you speaking to them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Last week, Sunday, I spoke on the priority versus memory, or memory versus priority. We can make this a part two. We can make it a part two. All year long, if you look on my left-hand side on the wall, you'll see that we have so many stuff there and a scripture attached to it, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You shall meditate so that you can do. The word is nigh unto you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart, so that you can speak it, and speak it not just once, but speak it continually. And speak it continually until you begin to own it and see its relevance. And then you begin to do what it says, and then the word will begin to yield. There's a word that we have loosely interpreted many times, and that is hope. I'm going to talk briefly about faith along the line. There are major cardinals of our Christian life, and that is faith, love, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. The Bible says, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. I can say the word of God without hope, and then it will tantamount to nothing. But I can say the word of God and speak the word of God with hope, and continue to speak it with hope. What is that hope? That hope is my strong expectation. I say it because I expect it to come to pass. I say it because I am persuaded That is what I meant to say and continue to say until it becomes a reality. I say it because I know there is no other thing to say. Because what I say is what I want to see. So it's my strong expectation. And then I'll see it. We read last week in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. The word is profitable. The word of God is profitable. It's not just profitable. It's not profitable to you and to me in written form. It's profitable when we receive it. It's profitable when we use it. It's profitable when we keep speaking it. It's your choice and my choice how we allow the word of God to influence us. How you allow the word of God to influence you is your choice. I've seen many people sit under the word of God in this church for years, and they are not influenced by the word. It's a dagger in my soul. Because when the word of God, when you allow it to influence you, the word of God transforms you. You can't be in a church like this where I know of a certainty that the word of God is preached week in, week out, and you are going back. If you are going back, or you are not seeing any change in your life, it's because you are not allowing the word to influence you. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Hebrews 4 and verse 2. It says, for indeed, the gospel was preached just like we preach it, just like we teach it in this place and in many other places, to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard it, it's in their mind, it's in the mental. We receive it with our mind, with our head. The word which they heard did not profit them, whereas the word of God is profitable. Why did it not profit them? Because let me tell you, one of the things that the word of God does when it's received and we allow it to influence our lives is it changes us from inside out. It destroys carnality. It may not be overnight, but eventually it destroys carnality in our lives. We don't come to church to mark register. We come to church to be transformed. The word did not profit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. They did not believe it. They did not really accept it. They shook their head and said, yes, it's true. It's true. But it remains there. Never goes down into the heart. So the Bible is saying here that the word of God is not the problem. There is no problem with the word. If the word is not profitable to you, there is no problem with the word. It's how you allow it to influence you. The problem is with the hearer who did not mix it. who did not continue to mix it and keep mixing it with faith. And you know, mixing anything takes time. If you are baking anything, you want to mix dough with your egg and your butter and your sugar. It's not something you just use one hand and do like this. You know? No. You're going to be looking at it and you give it energy. You mix and mix and mix and mix. And if you are using a mixer, you switch it on. And you see the speed at which the mixer is mixing. It may start slowly and start slowly. Then it starts churning and churning it. Until you have the consistency of what you need. When you are mixing, there is a weaker solution and there is a stronger solution. When you keep mixing and mixing and mixing, you find out that the weaker solution now takes the form of the stronger solution. The Word of God is the stronger solution. It swallows up every other thing because every other thing is underneath the Word of God. Every other thing is made and created by the Word of God and is sustained by it. I said to the workers this morning, there's nothing under heaven, there's nothing under the sun that outranks the Word of God. There's nothing that the Word of God cannot conquer. If we keep mixing it, and it's big, you keep mixing it because you have hope, you have confident expectation that it's going to work. It's the only thing that will work and will be lasting. And I will keep mixing it. To mix it is to own it. When you hear it, first and foremost, you make sure it's in your mind, it's in your memory, because you have prioritized it. You remember it everywhere you go and in everything you do. Then you begin to think and think and think and think about it. You may not understand it at the beginning, but when you keep on thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking about it, before you know, you begin to gain clarity. As you are thinking about it, you are praying it, and then you gain clarity. As I was thinking about this message, the easiest thing that came to my mind is when you go to a physician, you go to a doctor, and he prescribes, medicine. These days we have medicine being delivered to our homes, and there are companies that prepack them. You see them advertised on TV. They prepack it so that it's easy for you to take. In the same way, the Word of God has been broken down for us. You can take it context by context, verse by verse. Hallelujah. You know? And then the doctor says, take this once every day for 30 days. Take this twice every day for 30 days. If you really want the ailment to go, you know you have to follow the direction of the doctor. It's the same with the Word. We take it every day. We mix it every day. Lord, this is what your Word says. This is what your Word says about this situation. And then you pray it in your understanding, and then you pray it in the Spirit. Be mixed with faith. Is to own it. When I own the Word and the Word remains with me and I keep thinking about it and I keep saying it, guess what? A time will come, there's a light that will go on in my heart. It's called revelation. Mix it with faith. Now, what is that faith? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Before I even go into the issue of faith, have you not noticed, if you listen to the news you hear in the morning, if no other news breaks, is the same news you will hear from that same TV station. And if this person finishes telling the news and somebody else takes over, they will continue the same thing and keep on repeating it and repeating it and repeating it until there's breaking news. After breaking news, then they continue again, add breaking news to the news they started in the morning, and the people saying it, you wonder, is it not monotonous to them? The word of God cannot be monotonous to us. If the word of God is boring, then the benefits will be boring. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is God's sense. Faith is putting God in the mix. Faith is continually putting the word of God in our situations. Faith is what gives substance to hope. Faith is what, hope by itself is nothing. It is only faith that gives credibility and potency to hope. Faith is me and God connected. Faith is you and God connected. Faith is what gives reality to my strong expectation. That I know it's not going to fail. Nobody goes to work here in America and say at the end of the payday, your pay period, and say, I hope to be paid. You know you are going to be paid. That's not hope. That's not hope. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Faith is doing the word of God, doing the word of God, doing the word of God, doing the word of God. Last week we started with the hearer and the doer. Faith is doing. How can you do the word of God that is not centralized in your heart? And then, the Bible says, if we go down to verse 6 of that same Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, let me put it this way before I read it. God is pleased when I do what he says. God is pleased when I do what he says. Because faith is me prioritizing the word. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. You can do things that are right in the sight of God. God, like the scripture, promotes good works. But good works is not faith. Good works without faith is not pleasing. The Bible never says good works. Without good works, you cannot please God. He never said, without good works, you can't please God. He said, without faith, without faith, and the end game of our lives is pleasing God. Not even pleasing ourselves, not even pleasing men. A lot of church people, they are fair weather Christians. They have no pedigree. A little shaking, they are shaking, and they are shaking back. Let me announce to all of us, God is not owing any one of us anything. None of us is all that. Our end game is what? Pleasing God. Instead of allowing the word of God to influence us, we must not allow men to influence us. Don't let anybody influence you out of the will of God. And a child of God that rejects discipline, I doubt if that child of God will make heaven. I'm telling you. Go and tell anybody, Pastor Carl said it. You reject discipline, I doubt it if you will make heaven. Remember what we read last week. Matthew 21. Verse 28. A man had two sons, and he asked them to go and work in his vineyard or vineyard. And one said, "Yes, Dad, I'll go." But he did not. And the other one said, "No, Dad, I'm not going." But he did. We know the one that is pleasing to the Father. But how did the one who said yes, I will do, ended up not doing? How did the one who said I will not ended up doing? The difference is in the mixing. The reward of faith is connected to obedience. And obedience is equal to pleasing God. When I come to church, or any church for that matter, that I have the opportunity and the privilege to preach, I don't play to the gallery. I don't come to speak what you want me to say. I come to say what God's opinion is on any matter. And I can stand on it and be backed by the word of God. I shared with us here severally, especially with our workers. You say you are working for God, but you are not working with God. That work is nothing. It's useless. Because if you are working for God, God determines your timetable. I should hear an amen there. Because if you are working for him and you are walking with him, both will go in tandem. Hallelujah. The Bible says, without faith, without faith, without faith, without mixing it with faith, without mixing it with faith, it's impossible to please God, and it's impossible for it also to profit you. You know, good works is common sense. Good works is common sense. Doing the right thing, being hospitable, being kind. All those things are common sense. But when you are told to do what you cannot see, when you are told to do what you cannot see the result of, that's a different level. And that's where God is. God says, "I want you to go to Nineveh. And in the newspaper, the international newspaper of the day, says Nineveh, they are bad people. Even their donkey is bad donkey. All the dogs in Nineveh, they are bad. The owners of the dog, they are bad. The atmosphere of Nineveh is bad. Nothing good can come out of Nineveh. And God now said, go. And you agree with yourself. I'm not going. Nineveh is bad. Because if we have time to study Jonah, when Jonah now went to Nineveh, eventually when the fish put him out on the shore of Nineveh, and then the people of Nineveh now began to fast and turn to God, unbeknown to him, that there's nobody God cannot turn around as long as they are willing to be turned around. Praise the Lord. Now he went into the wilderness and it was pretty hot. Oh, it's so hot here. And then a small plant, right in his presence, grew up big and gave him shade. And suddenly it withered. And then he began to lament for the plant. And God said, so the plant is more important to you than my people. May God have mercy. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So faith is God's sense. Let me quickly make an analogy of these two sons. I hope you are getting something. I hope the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. The son who said, Dad, I'm not going. I will not. But later, he must have begun to meditate on what his father said. And the more he meditated on it, the more it became important. The more he meditated on it, the more his father's voice became important. The more he began to reason with himself. If it was not for this man, I would not be alive. Whatever I'm doing right now, if it was not for my father, I would not have had the privilege of doing it. The house I sleep, the food I eat, if it was not for my father, I would not have had the privilege of having it. If it was not for my father, I would not be, and so on. Because if we can enter into that kind of a zone and think about God in that dimension, we end up with surrender. The young man gave importance. He did a right about turn from disobedience to obedience. Not from I will to I won't. He obeyed his father. The son, the first son said, I will, but did not, because he ended up not meditating on it. That, oh, I have an assignment. To him, his father was not important. He likes to look good and say things that will move his father, but not do things that will move his father. You know, like people who say, oh, Pastor, we are praying for you. If you put a detective to follow them or a camera, you know that they are not praying anything. They are not praying. Oh, pray for the church. Lift up the church. Lift up the program that is coming. As if the program that is coming is for me. But rather, it's for all of us. Oh, yes, Pastor. Oh, I love my pastor. Do you remember? There was a time in this church. Almost everybody was calling me Daddy. Daddy. God began to reveal people's heart to me. Say, tell them to stop calling you Daddy.
Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I tell you? Oh, daddy, oh, daddy, oh, daddy, oh, daddy. And then somebody, one empty-headed somebody will now come and tell you, oh, don't mind him, this and that. It's true, I know. But you just said daddy now. If it's real daddy. So if you say PC and somebody empty-headed, somebody comes to tell you something about it, and you say, yeah, I know, I won't be angry. It just shows the fickleness of our minds and our faith. It's important to remind ourselves. You see, one thing I found out about human beings is we forget. We always forget. Oh, is this same person that used to pray for me, that blesses me? Is this same person that rose up even when it was inconvenient for him? Is this person that this and that and that? But you just forgot. It's like somebody who did 99 things for you and the only thing you remember is the one he didn't do. It's the same God we will go to. Even those of us who don't know how to pray, our Father is still what we will call. Our Father. Alone be thy name. Thy kingdom come. He's still our Father. Anything about God. But there's no yielding to that God. One thing I know is whatever is in your mind is what you will think about consistently. Consistently. And whatever is in your mind, when somebody comes to validate it, you latch on it. But I come to tell you today that your world can be bigger. Your personal world can be better when the word of God is what is in your mind. We are challenged every day with all kinds of stuff. In the news, you turn on the TV, all kinds of things. Believe me, I think for over 1 month, up until maybe 2 days ago, I just refused to pay our television bill. Because I had to ask myself, what is the benefit of this thing? What are we benefiting? Nothing. To be honest with you, nothing. That's just the truth. You turn on the news. Not every news is true. Huh? And somebody will lie directly to your face as if you are foolish. No wonder the Lord said in Joshua 1 and 8 as I close, this book of the law, that is this word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. This word, don't let it depart from your mouth. How is it going to be in your mouth if it's not in your mind? How is it going to be in your mouth if you are not looking at it? If you are not listening to it? If you forget it? It says you meditate. It's not just enough for you to say it. Continue to say it. But make sure you are thinking about it. Prayerfully thinking about it. You'll be amazed. The Bible says that faith, I think it was Timothy that said, faith is a mystery. The mystery of faith. The word of God too is a mystery.
Meditate on it day and night. He says when you meditate on it, then you start seeing things that you will not ordinarily see. That you may observe to do all that is written in it. All that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. And then you have good success. I have a word for us. Take a step forward with God. Don't give yourself any reason to step back. It's your beginning and it's your ending. It's the one who will judge at last. Make sure you are on the right side of Him. I want us to bow down our heads. I don't know what the Lord has spoken to you. But whatever the Holy Spirit has told you is the reality of the matter. Where there needs to be a U-turn, make a U-turn. Are you truly surrendered to Him? Play that song for me. Are you truly surrendered to Him? Or is it just ordinary words? You are the one that is determining what part of your life you want to give Him. When He's going to judge every part of it. He's going to judge every part of it. Ananias and Sapphira, they took control, so they thought, but they lost control. Not only did they lose control, they lost everything. It doesn't have to do with money alone. It has to do with every aspect of our lives. Withholding nothing, Lord, I say, it has to do with our children. Ask the Lord to forgive you today. And tell Him you are making a reconnection with His word. A reconnection with His truth. A reconnection with Him. Lazarus and the rich man died. The rich man said, oh, send somebody to my brothers. There are people there. Let them listen. I pray that the words we are hearing will not be a judgment to us, but it will be profitable to our lives. Father, we thank You. Lord, it's not Your desire that any man should perish, but that all men may come to eternal life. Lord, we receive eternal life. Somebody say with me, Father. Come on, say with me, Father. Oh, only how many of us are saying it? Say with me, Father. I connect with eternal life. Lord, forgive me. Anywhere I've stepped back, anywhere I've believed a lie, Lord, forgive me. I reconnect with You today. I reconnect with Your word today. Hold me and lead me on to the very end. As You have said it, so shall it be. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless His word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.